Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we prepare to open your word this evening, we're asking, Father, for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and greater understanding of this, your word. We ask, Father, each and every day to help us, Father, to build this church, to reach out to this community. Father, where we can be of help to others, to lead them to where, if they're walking in darkness, Father, that they can find the truth of your word and find the light, that light being Jesus. And Father, for those that are believers, that are still walking kind of weak, that are in need of someone to talk to, someone to pray for them and pray with them. Let us work here in this county, Father, to further your word. And we ask you to guide some here, Father, to this little church. Just a little country church, Father. But we know, Father, that your word comes forth as it is written. Now be with each one of us tonight, Father. As we lift up our voices to give praise, honor, glory, and thanks unto you and unto the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done for mankind, and most especially those of this nation, Father, that without reason has turned their back and walk so far away from him and from you. Now, Father, as I prepare to get into your word, be with me and let thy Holy Spirit do the teaching this night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to be talking to you tonight from the fifth chapter of Ephesians. We've been going through Ephesians, and we've only got two more chapters, and we've been through the whole book. So, probably be able to finish this up about Thursday, and then we'll see what God has for us next. Now, pardon me for just a moment. We got a lot of dankness here and with sinus. It's kind of got my throat a little messed up tonight. All right. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You know, here a few services back, I was telling you that you could get a better understanding from God's Word if you would read it aloud and take a little time with it. Because you see, that gives the Spirit time to talk to you. I found that out when God led me to teach, as he has, and to teach it verse by verse. Now, here in this verse, two verses, one and two there that I just read. We know that Paul here is talking to the church and to the people of Almighty God. You see, a lot of people think the Bible was written just for those that are lost. But it's not. Actually, all of the New Testament was wrote to the church, because those that are lost without being under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, they will never have a true understanding of God's Word. And just as he was talking here in the beginning, be therefore followers of God as dear children. See, he's letting you and I know who we are supposed to be and who we are to be following. But he goes on here now in verse 2, and he tells us, he said, and walk in love. For you and I to walk in love, the love he's talking about is that godly love. And that's a lot different than the way mankind looks at the word love. To walk And the kind of love that Paul is talking about here, life has to change. It can't be as it always was. Because you see, the love that we walk in as the children of God means that we are walking daily for those around us, our fellow mankind, and especially those of our own household, those of our own family, and the ones that you and I will call friends. We are to be doing our very, very best, the utmost, to get them into a place to where they can hear the truth of God's word, and with God's people to give them help so that they too can walk with the same kind of love. And he went on to tell us to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. How much did Christ love you and I? We know, don't we? He loved you and I enough that he was willing to go to the cross, take all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, and all of our sins. Every sin, not just certain sins, but every sin upon himself. One that had no sin. And yet, he loved you and I enough to take upon himself ours, so that we could have a newness of life. And just as it finishes up here, he says, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He is our sacrifice. Before the church age, before Christ came to earth, man was on his own. He had the law, but for the most part, he wasn't keeping it. He'd keep parts of it, but he wasn't keeping it. And for his sins, he was always having to go to their priest, and there had to be sacrifices made. There had to be a life taken and blood shed to cover the sins they had committed over that year. God, knowing a better way, sent his son Jesus to be our sacrifice. One that was pure, clean, had no sin, to become our sacrifice. He took upon himself death and bore those stripes that tore into the flesh. Those and the nails and all that brought his blood forth to be shed to cover our sins. And then even down at the last, had a spear stuck in his side, and water and blood flowed from that wound. So what are you doing for him? Are you really working to get others around you and others that you know saved? Or has it all been just words? You have to let them see that you love them. Let them know that for a fact, that they are loved and that you are there really for them. And those of us that have families, as I was telling you this morning, I've got a daughter that told me she didn't go to church because I made her go when she was at home. Yes, I did. Because, you see, that's what we're supposed to do. Man is the head of his home, or supposed to be. And he is the one that is responsible for getting his family out and into the church. But we find few today doing it. And one day, we'll all stand before the Lord our God and answer for the things we did not do. And at that time, you're going to find out how short you really have been. And your reward is not going to be very, very joyful. And you're going to miss out. And can even miss making heaven your home. Because you see, we're told in God's word, man, we are responsible for our homes. Now, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints. You see, once you become that child of God, you are considered in the eyes of God as being a saint. Yeah, I can remember growing up, others would say, just who do you think you are? Do you think you're a saint? Well, at that time, I didn't know any better. And I took it that they was putting me down. But actually, you see, they was telling you the truth. Because according to God's word, if you are a born-again child of God, that's exactly what you are. You are a saint. Because you belong to the family of Almighty God. And you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven by Jesus, and you have been filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Think about it. But how are you walking? Are you walking to where others know that you are a born-again child of God? Can they see Jesus in you? Or are they just seeing you pass on by? That's what most see. Because you see, very few today are really walking as the sons and daughters of Almighty God. Even those that are sitting in a lot of our churches. And it's because most of them have been deceived. Because they have not been taught the truth of God's word. and they don't know any different. Someday, there'll be one that has been leading them astray for so long and so many years that will pay the price for it. But then it will be too late for all. Think about it. They've built walls up, caused division among mankind, and walked away from God. Now, he goes on here in 4. He's told us not to be one that's got fornication or uncleanness or covetousness. We know what fornication is. That's sex without marriage. And we see it all around us today going on, especially among our younger people. In my young days, growing up as a young man, and through my teen years, we didn't have much of that going on like's going on today. Because if you was caught in that, you was shunned. Nobody wanted anything to do with you. I was raised just a few miles from where this church is. Actually, less than 10 miles. And they would have nothing to do with you. And when it come church time, you wasn't asked by your husband or your dad, are you going to get ready for church? You was told to get ready. You was told, get ready now for church because we're going to church. But look how all of that has changed. And look what it has brought us to in this day and time. Because, for the most part, men have not taken upon themselves as being head of their home. And I believe that's why today we are seeing so much difference in the gatherings here in our land than what we are seeing in lands that are communist, lands that are filled with Islam. Because you see, those Christian men, they were raised to be the head of their home. And then when they found Jesus, they wanted the rest of their family to have it. So they wasn't asked, will you go? They was told to go. And we're seeing today, our church is down, and especially here in this county, our churches are down, way down. Churches that was filled to overflowing for years, today, has got 5 and 6. Some up to about 10 or 15. When over there, their congregations are so large, they can't even preach in a building because they don't have them large enough to hold them. They're holding their meetings, their services in the fields because they're talking to 25, 30, and 35,000. And it's the whole family. My three pastor friends there in Pakistan. They send me photos and all of their services. And it's hard to believe that kind of difference, knowing that at one time we were the number one nation in the world in Christianity, and to see how far we have fallen. And we can't blame God. Man, we sit back, let one woman take fire out of our schools. Then the next thing you know, we sit back and let the government take the Lord Jesus Christ out of our schools and out of every place he was in, off all of our buildings and off all of our government buildings. When our government was founded and set upon the word of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The school system in this country, when it first began, one of the first school books they had was the Holy Bible. And today, it's not even allowed in the school. They're not allowed to teach you anything about Christianity in the school. But our schools are teaching about Islam. Oh, yes. A lot of you didn't know that, did you? Oh, but it is. It's going on today. Think about it. You see, and we're warned. Now, goes on here, he says, neither filthiness or foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We are to watch what we say, how we speak. We're not to be out here telling jokes. Watch your television. Get on your Christian stations. Go to Daystar. And watch those that are holding service on that. And see how many of them actually start their services with a joke. And we're told not to do it. You see, there's a lot of things. This word convenient means proper. For those of you that might not really know what he's talking about there. But we are to be giving thanks always for everything that we have unto the Lord our God. Because without him allowing you and I to have what we have, we would never have had it. Your next breath, have you thanked him for that yet? You know, if he says no, you won't get it. Have you thanked him for it? Because that's where it comes from. Goes on here now in 5. He says, for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an adulterer has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's telling you right there, for all of those that have been doing these things, and he went on to name the whoremongers and all, I don't have to break that down for you. You know what that is. That you men out here running around from one woman to another for illicit sex. nor any unclean person, nor covetousness. That word covetousness, you all know what that means. That means that you're wanting things because others has it. And most usually, it's things that you really don't even need, but because someone else has it, and it looks good, and you think that it's given them good standing in and around the community, then you begin to want it. Or it may be something that you have, but theirs is a little better, and you begin to start wanting what they have instead of what you've got. Thank God for the one you've got. It's working for you. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't be deceived by these that's out here that is preaching services that all it does is tickle the ears and it satisfies your mind because they're not stepping on your toes. Because they are not giving you the truth of God's word. That's why it's not bothering you. Well, you see, I'm not here to walk lightly around you. I'm here to help you get stronger. God put me in the ministry to help those to gain strength in faith, to gain strength in their life so that they can have life and have it more abundantly and come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfill that plan of salvation, and make heaven their home. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You see, when you do those things, and when we give you vain words, words that are of no good, they're not giving you anything from God. They're not giving you the truth. Then we've done you no favor, because that brings wrath of God upon the children of disobedience and also upon that one that has given you the wrong things and leading you astray, and yet you believing that you've got heaven made for eternity. Because he hasn't given you anything for you to know any better of how to walk in the presence of Almighty God. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't have any part with them. Well, you mean I shouldn't talk to them? No. But you're not to be partakers of the things they do. You're to talk with them, share with them the word of God, and let them know the wrong things they're doing are wrong. And let them know what they actually need. And you do it with love. You don't do it harshly. You do it because you love them, and you do it with the love of Almighty God. And when it's done that way, you'll be able to reach more. And we all need to be doing that. Now, 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We all walked in darkness, every one of us, because we were born with that old evil man, that evil nature. And we walked that way until we come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, now, if we were born that way, If we'd have died as a baby, were we lost? No. Because you see, your accountability in answering unto God don't start until you reach an age of accountability, an age of understanding. No, that child that is under the age of accountability has nothing to worry about of where it's going if it's taken out of this life. But you see, these things are not taught either in most places. We're told not to walk in darkness. Don't walk with that evil. Come out of that, and we do that by going through Jesus. And he says now, when we go through Jesus, and we have fulfilled that plan of salvation, we are light in the Lord, and we are to walk as children of the light. You see, when we will read this scripture and take it verse by verse and take a little time to see what that verse is saying, we get so much more out of it. And the next time that you will read it, you get more out of it. Because the Holy Spirit is there to give you the very depths of the Word of Almighty God. Now, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's verse 9. You see, your work and the things people will see, the things you do, that's the fruit he's talking about here. And when it's of the Spirit of Almighty God, it is goodness, and it's in righteousness, and it will be in the truth of God's word and his will and his way. In verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You see, we need that because of constant temptations and things that comes our way. And we as believers, we must always be proving ourselves and discerning those things that is and everything that what is and what is not is acceptable unto the Lord. Think about that. How's your life shaping up? Is what you are doing all day through the day acceptable unto the Lord? And what you do of the night, is it acceptable unto the Lord? The things you're doing with your life, is it really acceptable unto the Lord? You know, we put other things before the Lord our God. We put our work before the Lord our God. That should not be. And if you say, well, my job depends on it, and I need my job. No, you need the Lord God. And if you are walking with him, in him, and he in you, he'll take care of you and he'll see that you have work that will work with him and let you work with him and do what he has planned for your life. Because when you go to him and you are accepted by him, he has a plan for your life from that time on. Walk in it. Eleven. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Brings us back a few verses back, don't it? Don't have fellowship with those that are walking in darkness. Yes, sit down, talk to them and tell them the wrong things they're doing. And try to lead them out of that darkness, out of that unfruitful works, and turn themselves around and their life around and come to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they too can have life eternal with him in heaven. Now, verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You see, that verse is telling you and I why we as Christians must expose the sins of the lost. See, because if what they are doing is shameful, even to discuss what they are actually doing with others, we're not supposed to do that. We need to be trying to bring them to light. And not dwell upon the wrong things they're doing. Let them know it's wrong. But then let your speech come from the word of Almighty God to lead them away out of darkness and into the light. Now, verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. All sin that we can expose and be made visible by the gospel, by this word of God. And whatever sin it is, we can bring that sin then unto the light. And that light being Jesus. And in that way, we can help someone lost, walking in darkness, not to falter, but we can light their pathway with the word of Almighty God. Now, 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now since exposing sin is beneficial, you know, God invites the unbeliever, those that are in darkness, he invites them to turn from their sins. Because you see, they are actually walking dead to the Lord. Because he'll have nothing to do with sin. And they are walking dead to the Lord. And with his word, God promises that he will, that one that's walking there, if he'll go to God, he will be granted that spiritual enlightenment and help that is needed, and he gets that through Christ that will bring that light to him and lead him in the right way. I'm going to get ready with this next verse now and close out for the evening. God willing, maybe he'll pick up here come Thursday evening with us and finish out maybe with Ephesians, but we'll see. 16. Well, 15 and 16. See that then that you walk circumspicuously, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We are to walk as wise, and the only way we can walk with wisdom and walk as the wise is because we are walking in Jesus, and Jesus is walking in us, and we are walking filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the only way we can walk that way. And he tells us, redeeming, making the most of every opportunity that we have to be sharing contextually that spiritual opportunity that's always here with us in God's Word. And that we are always exposing the sins of the lost. And we get our wisdom through knowledge. And we get our knowledge from the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you and I don't have the knowledge of God's kingdom, and we sure don't have the wisdom to use it. It takes the Holy Spirit to teach you and I and to give us everything that we need. Praise God. And give him thanks every day for what he has given to you. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word, to learn more, Father, so that we can walk stronger each and every day and be there to be used by you to further this gospel and to take it wherever you want us to take it, Lord. Let us walk in boldness, the boldness of that word, teaching that word in boldness, without fear, but always in truth. Father, for your saints, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we pray for all of Israel to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, this land of ours, that without any excuse whatsoever, that once stood upon your word and once stood with the Lord Jesus Christ, has turned its back and walked so far away. Our government, Father, has been a lot of the cause. Now, Father, we pray that you help us to remove from office those that are against the Lord Jesus Christ and against your church, Father, and help us to replace with those that will work for your church and work to put Jesus back into all the places he's been taken out of, and work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, our prayer list tonight is each name is called. Holy Spirit, touch each one, bringing about the infilling of whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, financial, or physical. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, the brothers in Christ, Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson and Church of God of Brandenburg, for the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, my prayer for them is that they are filled at this time, Father, with the Holy Spirit, and these pastors are filled to overflowing, and that they are keeping these churches upon the pathway of righteousness. And Father, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what the need is there. And that little full gospel church of God there at Akron, Father, make it a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness in this area, Father, can go and find light, and that light being the Lord Jesus Christ. For my young friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephron Aaron, Father, keep these men safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. Because, Father, we know that they're walking in lands to where, if caught, can mean imprisonment and death. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my family, my wife's family, and Father, for each and every family that hear this message tonight, we ask that the Holy Spirit work among these families, work with those that are walking in darkness, and help to bring them from darkness to light, that light being Jesus, so that they, Father, will not be lost and will be able to make heaven their home. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo and her mother, for Sue, for David, for Palance, for Kelly Smith, for Karen. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch, and that healing that comes from the stripes that Jesus bore. Father, your word tells us that by his stripes we are healed. I'm laying claim to that, Father. I'm laying claim to that. And all of you that's standing this night in need of healing, lay claim to it. Let the Father know that you are laying claim to it. and tell Satan to take his sickness and his disease and leave in Jesus' name, then he has to go. Now, Father, be with us. Keep us safe until we can come back together again come Thursday night. And keep us walking upon that pathway of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone, remember now, God willing, we can all be together again Thursday evening. And we will be changing the time. It will be 5 o'clock instead of 6. Because we do have some that wants to be here in our evening services, but they can't drive at night because it's a little too risky for them. So I've moved it up, and that way it will still be a little light enough that they'll be able to see to make it home all right, to make it here and to make it home. Walk with God now, and he'll walk with you. God bless. Good night, all.